From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer.
Just say no! Just say no!
With time growing short to pass or stop a health care bill from making its way through Congress, the rhetoric is only heating up. Protesters who don't like the bill and don't like the method Congress is considering to get it through were demonstrating outside the Capitol today. John Leoka from Annapolis, Maryland, made it clear he thinks the health care bill is bad news.
You familiar with snake oil? Yeah, that's what this place is full of. They say one thing and give you another.
However, it's clear that President Obama and top Democrats in the House are just as determined to get a health care overhaul bill passed, even if it means using a procedure that would more or less bypass an actual vote on the bill itself, a move defended by Democratic Party Chairman Tim Kaine.
The Republicans are going to spend their time talking about the procedure because they know that the substance is right and they're afraid of what the political consequences will be of voting against it.
Procedure Democrats are considering would allow them to pass fixes to the Senate bill without actually taking a direct vote on the underlying legislation. Golfer Tiger Woods has picked a safe venue and one he is intimately familiar with for his comeback to the PGA Tour. Woods, in a statement today, announced he'll play next month at the Masters tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Woods, who's been off the tour since November following a much-publicized car crash and admissions of marital infidelity, in a statement today said that after a long and necessary time away from the game, I feel like I am ready to start my season. Fellow PGA player Steve Stricker said he's happy Woods is back.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's nice to know that he made up his mind that he's coming back. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation and wonderment if he was going to, you know, come back for the Masters. So it's nice that he's going to be back there for it.
Woods has won the Masters four times. In December, the 34-year-old pro golfer announced he was taking an indefinite break from the game while he sought to save his marriage. The Federal Reserve's main interest rate setting arm, the powerful Open Market Committee, will again hold the line on interest rates, a move that will affect millions of loans tied to short-term rates it controls. That decision was announced following the Fed's meeting today in Washington. Lynn Reeser is chief economist at Point Loma Nazarene University and says the Fed appears to be waiting for one key indicator to pick up.
The key point that we all are watching, of course, relates to employment. The Federal Reserve wants to see that the job market is improving. The other economic indicator that could push them to raise interest rates would be an increase in inflation.
The Fed, in its end-of-meeting statement, continued with its pledge to keep interest rates low for an extended period. There was one no vote from Thomas Hoenig, president of the Kansas City Fed, who thinks keeping rates low for too long could lead to financial imbalances. That decision by the Fed was hailed on Wall Street today. The Dow was up 43 points to close at 10,685. The Nasdaq added 15 points. The Standard & Poor's 500 rose 8 points today. You're listening to NPR. Southern California, which has seen one of the biggest declines in home prices, is showing continued signs of a rebound, with the median price of a home there rising for the third straight month. According to the real estate tracking firm MDA DataQuick, the median price of a home in the six-county Southern California region was $275,000 in February, up 1% from January and $25,000 from the same month a year ago. Residents in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota are bracing for a second straight spring of major flooding. Minnesota Public Radio's Tim Nelson reports.
Rainy fall weather and saturated soils have led to rare back-to-back spring flooding along the Red River Basin. The crest is expected to be lower than last year's record flooding, but sandbags and dikes will still be needed to protect Moorhead, Minnesota, and Fargo, North Dakota. Bruce Grubb helps run Fargo's flood-fighting efforts. He said volunteers spent most of yesterday filling sandbags.
We sandbagged from 8 in the morning and shut down at 8 p.m. last night. Had about 500 volunteers throughout that 14-hour period. We think we'll achieve that 1 million sandbag goal.
The floodwaters are expected to crest by this weekend. For NPR News, I'm Tim Nelson in St. Paul.
Soon diners in New York City will be able to tell whether their restaurant of choice gets an A or something less in terms of cleanliness. Under new rules approved today, the city's 24,000 restaurants, ranging from the most expensive bistros to the most modest pizza kitchens, will have to display a letter grade rating their overall cleanliness. A similar measure was introduced last year in Washington. Los Angeles already requires such grades to be posted in the windows of its restaurants. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.